All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, May 3rd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a single NBA showdown, single NHL showdown. We have Xfinity for NASCAR. We have a 7-game early MLB slate. We have a 6-game main MLB slate later this evening. And then we also have a 12-fight MMA card. Might be missing a couple sports of action there, but plenty of DFS action coming at you all weekend long. And it is the Kentucky Derby today, for those of you who follow along with that. So that'll always be exciting. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So appreciate you guys tuning in with me. With that said, we did have a number of questions come in before the show today, so we will start with those. But if anybody has any questions, now's a good time to get those in the queue. I'm going to be using this upcoming MLB slate that starts in about 90-ish minutes here for our demos for today. But we're just going to work our way down the list of questions. First question that came in: when you click on a player, are the correlations from the sims or from historical data? If I change a player's projection, shouldn't it change everyone's projection? Thinking NBA. Okay, good question. So the way this works is, let's say I click on a batter, for example, right? I go and I click on Jaren Duran. All right, so I go in and I see his correlations to the other players, not only on his team, but also in the game, right? These correlations are from our play-by-play sims. So these come directly from the sim data, okay? Now, these correlations get amplified via whatever setting the correlation slider is set to, okay? Correlation slider set to 9. These correlation values between the players get amplified. This is how you get stacks without really needing stack rules in MLB or like NHL or any sport where correlation is important, NFL, right? So correlations are from the play-by-play sims. They are not from historical data. Now, when you change a player's projection, okay, it doesn't have a cascading effect on all the other players. There's kind of two ways you can go about this. So if I change Jaren from 9.94 to 11.94, okay, what happens is when we pull the sims and we, you know, randomly sample the database, every time he scores 10, he now scores 12. Every time he scores 8, he now scores 10. Every time he scores 0, he now scores 2. So we effectively keep the same shape of his distribution, but we shift it over to its new mean value, depending on whatever adjustment you made, positive or negative, okay? Individual player adjustments do not affect other players. Now, if you want to have an effect on other players, a better way of doing this would be to use team stacks and adjust projected runs. So maybe I'm just like, hey, I think Boston is going to do better than projected here. Okay, I come in and I change Boston from 5.1 runs to 6.1 runs, right? And I come in here, I click apply. Team total is going to update. We can see it up in the game panel. It says 6.1. We can see it here in the list. It says 6.1. We go to players. We got to switch. There's a new column, adjusted SaberSim projection. We got to switch the MyProj source from SaberSim to SaberSim adjusted. Now, by doing it this way, this has an effect on all the players in the lineup, right? Jaren goes from 9.94 to 11.09. Devers goes up. Bregman goes up. Abreu goes up, right? This is a little bit more of that like cascade effect where what we're doing is, you know, we have like 25,000 sims of each game on the slate. We start to ignore all of the lowest scoring sims for Boston to push their team total toward that 6.1 number that we've set. So by getting rid of all their low scoring, we're raising the mean team total there. So this has an effect on, you know, not only Boston, but also on Minnesota as well, right? We can see that, hey, even the Minnesota batters are being affected a little bit. And it's because we're ignoring sims in the database, okay? So that's what's happening here. Team total adjustments will have an effect on the entire game. All right. Next question. Shoot, I hate to double up. No worries. More questions are better. But it's important. We never talk about what when you win. It's so critical to ROI. What do you do post-win? I'm gonna take this from like the perspective like, hey, you know, I won. Great. You know, what do I do? I honestly wouldn't do anything different than what you do when you lose, right? Like, hey, you know, when I play every day, part of my process is the next day I go and I look at contest flashback and I try and see if I can make any adjustments to my process before the next slate, right? Oh, well, I won, you know, should I not do flashback? Like, no, that's the wrong answer, right? Keep doing what you're doing, right? Keep doing what's working. I think I was watching, I think it was game 4 of the Lakers Minnesota, and like post game, you know, Anthony Edwards had like 43 points, right? And they interviewed him and they're like, you know, oh, what are you going to do? He's like, honestly, you know, I've been in the gym, you know, every day and it's been working. Like, I'm going to get right back to the gym tomorrow, right? So like, he's not only in the gym when he's losing, like, hey, you know, dude wins, scores 40 points. Like, guess what? He's still doing the same exact thing that led to that outcome, right? Getting right back in the gym. So if you're studying flashback every day and you win, like, that is not a sign to take a day off of studying flashback, right? Keep doing what you're doing. All right. Hope that analogy made sense. Made sense in my head. All right. It's an interesting conversation I was having in the Discord with Junk Dog. So kind of wanted to mention it here. Question was, hey, Andrew, thanks for the review yesterday. Kind of a follow-up. I'm reviewing my play a couple times recently. I've had some slates where my ROI fluctuates quite a bit depending on the contest. In MLB, I've even had a night where on the same slate, I was like second or third highest ROI in one while being negative in another contest. However, the edge in sim ROI does seem much smaller in baseball. So I'm guessing this might just be expected sometimes. Even yesterday when you did my NBA review, I think I had some contests that were much lower in sim ROI, but you just happened to pick the one that looked a bit better since it was the 20 max that was maxed. When reviewing myself, if I do have these contrasting ROIs, how would you go about evaluating it? Also, this seems to be most common for me in MLB, followed by NBA, NHL. I'm usually pretty consistent across all contests on my ROI. Okay. Good question. So one thing I've noticed personally, right, is that ROIs tend to be a little bit lower in MLB compared to like NBA. And then secondly is I've noticed that smaller contests tend to have lower ROIs as well. My conclusion is that there are just less bad lineups. There's, you know, less entries to be taken up by softer competition, and that leads to less bad lineups in the contest. So it just makes the contest overall like a little bit harder. Okay. So like, let's say, you know, you're going through here, right? You're studying your contests. Maybe you're playing, what's like a good one here. Okay. So for instance, right, there's a couple different mini maxes. There's a 50 cent large mini max, and then there are two smaller 50 cent mini maxes. This usually happens where like the first one fills. So then they open up a smaller second one. They call it like a respawn contest. And then that one fills and then they open up another respawn contest, right? So like, let's compare the ROIs, right? 50 cent, 150 cent mini max, or 50 cent, 150 max contest. All three of them. We'll just compare two. So we're going to look at the 47K one. Right, you go, you look at like 150ers, sort by sim ROI. So highest sim ROI is like 5-ish%, right? Okay. that's not great. Something I've considered, right, is like, okay, well, what are like the highest MRIs of people entering less than this, right? Okay, what if like... what if we just ignore entries? So like some single digits. I mean, there's some double digit ROIs, but from people playing, you know, less than five lineups. Highest is like 20. We see like 80 has like 6%. So, you know, what you could like consider, right, is like entering less lineups in the contest. I don't know what like the payout structure is of these, but something I've considered in the past is like, hey, I'm not going to enter whatever like 10th place pays. I'm going to enter that amount of like entries. So like say 10th place pays, you know, $30. Like, okay, I'm going to enter 60 entries in this contest max, right? That's something I've like messed around with in the past, just like an idea, kind of like food for thought. But let's say that, you know, you look at this, you say you want to max it, right? You have the bankroll to max it, but you see that the ROIs are like really, really low. You know, you could just say like, hey, I'm not going to play this contest and I'm going to go and take that bankroll and I'm going to play it somewhere else, right? And even if that leads you to playing contests over, you know, the $3 limit, like that's okay, right? We want to get the best return on our investment. And, you know, maybe you're like, okay, should I play the 50 cent 150? Or how does the $4 20 max look, right? And here, at least there's like double digit maxers. There's, you know, 16%, 13, 13, 12. So if I had to pick between 50 cent, 150 max, $4 20 max, I would pick the $4. And even if you're not maxing it, right? Let's say you're entering, you know, what would that be? Like, say you're doing 40 entries, right? That's like $20. Okay, well, you're going to get less entries, but we've kind of determined like we're willing to do that here. So then I would just go and put five lineups in the $4 and be okay with that, right? So you can definitely like kind of use Flashback to pick and choose which contests you feel are going to be best for you to enter. And it's okay to sacrifice some entries to get into some higher ROI scenarios and contests to play. So I think that's like the big thing there. Another thing you could consider, right? You could consider changing sites. Maybe you're playing DK MLB, but you know, FanDuel has, you know, good low stakes contests as well. Like, go check out FanDuel. You could check out alternate slates, right? Okay, maybe I'm only playing the main. Maybe I should consider the night slate, right? Night slate is usually like pretty healthy lobbies. So like we go over to the night slate. And this was for yesterday. Okay, they have like a $1 150 max. They have $1 20 max, you know, quarter jukebox, right? You could check these out, right? See if these are good options as well. Kind of just got to, you know, hunt a little bit and get a feel for the lobby. The good thing is that a lot of these contests will be like really similar, right? You'll kind of get a sense for what contests you kind of want to play and which ones you kind of want to stay away from. So there's, I think there's some opportunity to find good contests. You just kind of got to kind of look a little bit. And unfortunately, you're not going to be able to like do the same research with FanDuel. But I do think like low stakes contests on FanDuel are a good opportunity as well. All right. Good stuff there. Chris said 100K to first on DraftKings. Good luck, everyone. Good luck to you too. Okay. Couple questions here. Chris said, do you like Jamal Murray as captain on Showdown today? So good question. You know, kind of the way I always like recommend people answer this is kind of run a build and like see what SaberSim is saying and compare ownership to exposure and compare leverages, right? So what that would look like is we come in here, we go to NBA, we go to Clippers Denver. All right. And we're just going to kind of run a build with like the baselines, right? So, okay, I come in, I make two small adjustments, two projections. I'm making a 0.01 adjustment here, right? So letting the sim really do its thing, minimal input adjustments, going to have little to no effect on the outputs here, right? You get to whatever sorting metric you're going to use, right? If you're going to use single game saber score, okay, stick with single game saber score. If you're going to use contest sims, stick with contest sims. I remember, if I'm correct from yesterday, that you were on starter. So we're going to use single game saber score. Okay, cool. We come in here, we sort by exposure. And then we just kind of see like, hey, you know, where is Jamal Murray? We don't actually see him in our top 20 lineups. We can go and find him though, right? Just sort by projection. So as a captain, he's about 6% owned. We don't have him in any of our top 20, but we do have him across all of our lineups, right? I didn't build 500. I just built the default on Ultimate that was set to 2000, but that's fine, right? So what's kind of interesting here, right, is that his pool percentage, this is kind of his like optimal rate because we're taking single game sims. And across all of our lineups, he came up about 7.2% of the time. He's about 6.3% owned. So the builder does like him a little bit more than the field does, but it doesn't think he's like the quote unquote best option, right? So if I had to like, you know, interpret this, right? This is kind of how I'm asking that question is like, hey, you know, does Saber Sim like Jamal Murray at captain? Well, it thinks he's a fine play, but it likes other people more, right? That is how I would interpret this information. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to not play him, right? You're like, hey, you know what? I like Jamal Murray. Okay, well, guess what? There are 144 Jamal Murray captain lineups in our pool. You know, just tell SaberSim you want some of him. Say I want Jamal Murray in, you know, 10% of my lineups. Okay, I set the minimum exposure. On the lineup side, I click apply. The builder is going to go and find the best Jamal Murray captain lineups and then put those in your 20, right? So you're the whole reason, you know, say you need 20, we're building you more than you need is so you can have some optionality after the lineups are built and put in some of your own opinions, right? So we go in and I just want to look at these, right? I click the plus magnifying glass on Murray. I'm like, okay, you know, these are what the Murray lineups look like, right? Murray captain, Jokic, Westbrook, DeAndre Jordan, and then Harden and Batum on the other side, or Jokic, Gordon, Zubac, Bogdanovich, and Jones on the other side, right? These are the two lineups that it went and found from the Sims. Sim Optimals is three, right? These lineups came up three times as good options in the Sims. I wouldn't be opposed to playing these lineups at all, right? So don't be afraid to put in some of your own opinions. Use the minimax exposures to get the lineups to look like you want. Because guess what? What if Murray ends up being like the optimal captain? You're like, I knew I should have played Murray. You know, why didn't I do it? You know, you're going to kind of be kicking yourself, right? So put in your inputs. You know, you're telling SaberSim, hey, I want this. It's going to give you the best version of that it has available. And you know, you're going to find like a happy medium there and, you know, you're probably going to be a lot more satisfied with your lineups going into your contest. So that's what I'd be doing there. All right. Demetrius said, can you do MMA MLB builds on DK? Sure. Why not? So let's go over to MMA and looks like we have a 12 fight card, if I remember correctly, kicking off in couple of hours here. So we go over to MMA. If you want to know how many fights are on the card, just go to the slate selector and you go to MMA. It'll tell you the games is like how many fights there are. First thing I like to do is just make sure no fights are canceled, right? So just like scroll down to the bottom of the projections. If fights are canceled, there'll be a couple fighters with zero projection, or they will show like an out status in the status column, but looks like that is not an issue here at the moment, which is great. So let's say I'm going to build 500 lineups. I like to lower minimum salary a little bit, give the builder a little bit more flexibility. I don't like to do anything really beyond that. There's a default rule set up here for don't use opposing fighters. Okay. Again, I'm going to make minimal adjustments to projections, click build, and we're going to kick this off. So, you know, really just kind of trusting the sim outputs here, not trying to get too fancy or anything like that. Let's move some columns around. bring in leverage, bring in pool. Open up lineups. All right, so I'm going to do this as like Saber Score demo. So we go over to Saber Score. There's two Saber Score options, okay? MMA default, MMA sim diversity 10. Now, if you click the gear icon, this is on sim diversity 10 by default. I would use the sim diversity 10 option if you don't change the sliders. If you do change the sliders to be less than 10, for whatever reason, your choice, then I would switch to the MMA default, okay? But the MMA sim diversity 10 is going to be the best option here because, again, you know, similar to Showdown for NBA, it has this sim optimals variable, okay, which only appears on sim diversity 10 builds. All right, so we come in here, right? And normally MMA, in case you're not familiar, is a high duplication sport. So you want to kind of do some things to account for this duplication. So here, right, a couple of things I've used in the past, but this is a starter demo. So we're going to start with some ownership. So, okay, show lineups with ownership less than X. I don't know what a good number is. Maybe like 190 seems okay. No effect. Okay, let's try 175. We do have we had 500 lineups. Doing this filter at 175 got rid of 70 lineups. So that's perfect, right? That's right within 50 to 100, which is in that 10 to 20% range. So I like this. So I'm going to leave that there. Now, what we could do is we can just start analyzing this. What I would do is after the slate, I would go to flashback, see how duplicated my lineups are. And then I would determine if I need to be more aggressive with ownership, with a duplication, you know, filtering options, right? That could be, I'm going to play lower salary lineups, right? You know, my average salary here is 49.9. That's like really high. You know, maybe I need to take salary into consideration and I need to cap max salary at, you know, 49.8 or something like that to get more unique. Maybe I need to take into account lineup construction. Maybe I need to use a geomean rule or a geomean filter if I'm on ultimate, right? So the progression here is always start less aggressive and then go more aggressive, go more aggressive, go more aggressive as needed until you're getting your desired result, okay? But I'm going to start more hands off here. And then from there, right, I'm going to come in and then I'm going to do like kind of normal stuff like, hey, you know, how do I feel about my exposures and my leverages? Okay. There are some leverages in like the 20% range. A lot of the leverages are more single to double digit. You know, if I'm happy with this, I could just save, right? Let's say I'm not happy with it. Okay. Well, I could try using uniques, right? Watching how my average projection changes. Notice going from simply one unique to two. Projection went down about a point, which is not very bad, but our top leverages went down significantly. And now our highest leverage is 17%, 14, 14, 13, right? So we went from 27 down to 17 is now our highest. And we still have some high negative, but it's kind of up to you, you know, whether or not you want to. You can manage negative leverage as well, right? This is a big stand kind of against Gillian Robertson. You're like, hey, maybe I don't want to be so under the field on him. I'd rather, you know, set a minimum of this negative leverage player to like 10% and be closer to half the field, right? Be still be under on him, but not so drastically under, right? And then now I have 10%. The leverage is negative 13%, right? So that's another way to do it. Notice it did end up boosting some of these other fighters. So there's pros and cons to it. You got to kind of figure it out, but that's just like a thought path that you can go down. And so it's just going to be kind of up to you to figure out what's the right answer for you. You could try boosting uniques more. You can make minimax exposure tweaks. But this is what I would be doing, you know, for MMA. And then I'd be iterating on this process using flashback for upcoming fights and trying to, you know, slowly build a process that I'm like really comfortable with. And that I think is really good, right? So always got to you know, write down your process, be objective in your analysis, and, you know, you don't want to be throwing something new at the wall every week, hoping it sticks. You want to, you know the steps that you're taking so you can analyze them. That's why we always recommend writing them down on piece of paper, on a Word doc or something where you can reference it, saying, okay, I know I'm going through my checklist, hitting all these points. All right. Good question there. Similar question for MLB. So we go over, we said we're going to use this early slate since this one's coming up soon. This is the one where we boosted Boston. So let's say we keep it with that, right? Okay, we make an adjustment to Boston, right? We're happy with that. We're going to build, you know, 500 lineups. Or we'll do an ultimate one this time because we did the starter for the MMA. All right, only thing I like to do here, right, turn on a rule, which is going to be this baseline rule, don't use batters against opposing pitchers. That's good. Looks like we've the team total adjustments count toward the adjustments that we need to make here. So that's good. It is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 game slate. I'm going to boost min salary slightly here. I'm going to go up to like 48.5. We've seen higher min salaries in high sim ROIers on these like quote unquote like larger slates. And we classify large slate as like 6 or more games. It is 7, so it's a little bit on the low side, you know, so I'm only going to go 48.5. If this was like a 9, 10, you know, 12 game slate like yesterday, I'd probably go up higher to like 49K, but a 500 boost here seems fine. So we're going to build some lineups, and then we do have a default contest sim on, so I'm just going to use that. And lineups are finishing up now. And again, I'm going to move some columns around. Okay. Let's see. Bring these in. Bring leverage over. Let's move ownership that way. It's all customization, really. Just got to figure out what you like. It's good enough. Cool. So come in here. Got my exposure, leverage, pool. I like to have value around for pitchers. I've noticed that tends to be important. And, you know, again, our contest sim ran, so we're sorting by ROI. I don't need this average salary aggregate metric this time, but I do want to get an average ROI one. Save that. So projected score, ROI, sorting by ROI. With there being 10 players, I like to just try and get to at least half of my players in my lineup being unique right off the bat. We were at 203 ROI, now we're down to 188. It's like 15% is not a big thing to like really sacrifice there, so that seems kind of fine to me. We do have a lot of leverage on some of these batters. Feels like almost a little too much for me. So I'd probably try and go a little bit higher, right? I'm going to try and go to 7. At 7, ROI goes down kind of a lot. Interesting, interesting. So let's go back to 1. I want to see this. So at 1, we're at 91.7 projection. At 5, we're at 91.2. So we barely sacrificed projection. At 7, projection actually goes up. So that means we're probably getting off of like some high leverage teams with like lower team totals onto like some more chalkier plays. I'm okay with that. And we sacrificed a little ROI, but I think it's probably worth it. So seven uniques feels actually like a much better number. This does keep our highest exposed batter to 30%. And there's only one of those. And then it's a big group of 25 and then a big group of 20. I like this a lot more, even though I've sacrificed like 50% ROI for this. It seems okay. I go over to pitchers. Pitchers are like pretty flat here. Negative leverage on Gausman. We're even with the field on Hicks. Seems good. So pitchers, we're not taking a big stand here. Batters, we still have some double-digit leverage on like some of these guys. Kind of stacks, mostly five stacks, 5-2, 5-3, five. Team stacks, we're getting to Boston is our highest exposed, but Boston is also the team where we made that run total adjustment. Okay, stand on Cleveland, and then this coincides with the negative leverage on Gausman. So like, hey, we're under on Gausman as a pitcher, and then we're over on Cleveland. So we're kind of just like hammering this spot. We really like Cleveland here. You know, maybe it's like a little too much exposure for you. You're like, hey, you know what? Cleveland under four runs. That's like, I don't really want them to be like my second highest exposed. Okay, like feel free to chop that in half, right? Okay, we go Cleveland and we go, you know, maybe three times their pool exposure, right? Okay, they're at 5.8. We bump them. We set their max to 15%, right? This is just risk management, right? And then, okay, the A's are at 15% pool. We have them now in 30%. Maybe I'm okay with that. Maybe I like that a little bit more. Their run total is 4.5. So this just feels a little bit better. We go back and we check our pitchers again. And now we're less leveraged on Gausman. It's like, okay, well, if you're not going to play the Guardians, then we don't want to be as under the field on Gausman, right? Like it's all making sense, kind of the way that, everything's working here. We go back to batters, no batter over 25%. Seems good. I'm really happy with this, right? We've got diversification. We've done some risk management in team stacks. We have checked out our pitchers. Everything's kind of making sense there. This feels really good. I would be happy to save these and submit them. Sorry, had a sneeze there. But that's what I'd be doing for MLB for this upcoming slate here in about an hour. Richard says, is there a way to test a hand-built lineup in Saber to see what projected fantasy score would be? Yeah, absolutely. You could do that. So what you want to do, right, and I'll just like hand-build a lineup real quick. I'll just kind of walk through the steps of this. So let's say, you know, I go to this early slate. Let's see, coming up. And I'm going to go hand build a lineup for this time. Okay. We are going to go fade Gausman for sure. Maybe I go with like a Cleveland stack. Hedges. Manzardo. Schneeman, maybe. J-Ram. Oh, J-Ram's out today. And then day off. All right, we'll skip him. Let's see, I need an outfielder. Steven Kwan, perfect. All right, so I'm gonna do like some 5-3 stack. Okay, so 5-3. I'm going to go Cleveland, and then I'm going to go Boston because we were talking about Boston. All right, Boston. Who can I get here for cheap? Minnesota, Rafaela, and Durant. All right, so I've hand-built a lineup here. It's a 5-3 stack, Cleveland and Boston. Now, maybe I want to see what the sim says about this, right? Okay, so what I need to do, go to the contest tab. I go to upload entries. I download the file. Okay. I'm just going to click this button. Oh, man. Hold on. One sec. Log me out for some reason. You got to make sure you're logged in to the same. You got to log into DK on the same browser you're using SaberSim. Okay, cool. So I log back in, file downloaded, right? You need to open this file, okay? So you open the file. It's going to look like this. You got to get rid of these columns before the lineup starts. You basically need the lineup to start in column A. So easiest thing is to delete these. Cool. Lineup starts in A, so I save it. Okay, I need to go to a build now, a new build with no lineups. See how it says no lineups in that pop-up? I right-click on this. I go to upload pool. And then I go and I grab that file that I just downloaded. That is going to bring the lineups into a build. And then now that the lineups are in a build, I can sim them. And I can also see the summary stats, right? The projected score, the stack. I knew it was a 5-3, right? All this makes sense. So that is how you take hand-built lineups and get them into SaberSim so you can, you know, do whatever you want with them. All right. Good stuff there. Looks like we're all caught up with questions, knocked out multiple slate demos here. We talked about MMA, MLB. We went over like some showdown stuff. Richard said that's so freaking cool. Yeah. Happy to display that functionality. Not something we get to talk about all the time here, but appreciate you guys tuning in. Good luck in all of your contests this weekend. I'll be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.